Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, Darren, I am impressed with how many moving pieces there were in this episode of Raw to, once again, I think, fill out 3 hours well. I think the top talking point with a lot of people is going to be what they did with Jey Uso arriving on the scene. No Cody this week. He's back next week. But they really played up in a way that took advantage of aspects that I didn't even think about or count on them incorporating into the storyline, which is all the people on Raw who have been affected by actions Jey Uso took when he was part of the Bloodline. And then you throw in Drew McIntyre saying if things don't go well with Jey, he's going to take it out on Cody. And then you add Adam Pearce saying, oh, yeah, Jey, you haven't been welcomed by everybody here tonight, but it might get worse because somebody's going to be moved from here over to SmackDown as a compensatory move for Cody orchestrating you moving over here. And then you add, although, you know, it's I think less intriguing because it's pretty obvious it won't happen, Dom making his earnest pitch for Jey to join the Judgment Day. Those are like, I think, four major aspects of this Jey Uso switch to Raw that are intriguing. And you just add to that, that Sami Zayn immediately made himself part of the story of trying to acclimate Jey to Raw and ask people who he thinks he has a good relationship with to trust Jey and give him a chance. Just a lot that they put into this show to make Jey arriving on Raw, I think, you know, amplifying all the different possibilities of how this will shake things up on Raw, a show that was pretty good before, and I think Jey adds some star power, but now multiple undercurrents and storylines. Your thoughts on what I just brought up there?
Yeah, they did a really good job of introducing Jey to the brand and put in several storyline options I hadn't even really thought about. I mean, yeah. I knew he'd probably be involved with Sammy, or I just assumed he'd be going against the Judgment Day, and they picked an interesting way of getting there if, in fact, that is the direction that they go. Could be intriguing if he went and joined them, though. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily rule that out. I don't think it's going that way, but, I mean, probably do some teasers to make you think that it could go that way. I have a feeling they'll do that. But I really liked the multiple directions, and the one that really intrigued me the most was who is going to be the compensation pick, because it's got to be somebody of a fairly big stature, I would think, because they would want it to be equal, somebody but it's going to be somebody who's going to affect the storyline also, because someone is going to be unhappy with that person moving, is what they have alluded to. So I'm kind of intrigued by that. I couldn't think of many options of who it could be. I was thinking maybe Drew, perhaps. I think, and maybe he'd be upset that Riddle got moved, but I don't know if Riddle is that big of a pick for that slot. But somebody's got to go now that they've made such a big deal about it.
I know. Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to, you know, catch my breath and go through the possibilities myself.
Me neither.
But I'm trying to think, like, because if they say it's a, you know, compensatory, it's an equal pick, it has to be somebody of some significance. And does that, like, what if Kevin Owens gets moved to SmackDown, for instance, breaks up Sammy and KO, gives Kevin Owens a fresh scenario, or what if it's Sammy, and Sammy gets moved to SmackDown, that would, you know, have a direct tie-in with the Bloodline, but it could be something separate, and they have a completely separate idea in mind of what they want to do, and that's where a Drew or even a Cody. Can you imagine Cody orchestrates Jey moving to Raw, and then it gets worked out that Cody has to go to SmackDown? I mean, it's not going to be Seth. It's not going to be somebody lower. You know, it's not going to be. I don't even know what Brian Jinder is on, but, you know, I guess it could be Miz if they just want to have Miz and LA Knight permanently on the same brand. That seems like that would, you know, be plausible as an equal trade for Jay.
It could. I think they would keep Miz on Raw, though, just because of that reality show so that they can cross-promote.
Yeah. They could also – I mean, it could be a woman. Could be Becky Lynch or – yeah. So anyway, yeah, maybe some listeners have some ideas on who it could be or who they want it to be, who you think would be a good career move and who you don't want it to be because it'll just mess things up. It was fun. I mean, it just all the moving pieces. Do you think Sammy welcoming Jay fits, you know, where everything left off? You know, obviously Sammy and Jay bonded, but Sammy was, you know, disappointed in decisions Jay made along the way, obviously. Does it fit Sammy's personality and the journey he's been on with the Bloodline and Jay in particular for him to sort of let bygones be bygones and be the one to go, yeah, I forgive you, you know, because I know ultimately you were being pulled in two directions and I'm going to forgive you for choosing the wrong direction that time.
Yeah, it fit in. It wasn't a jarring thing where, like, why would Sammy, you know, they would raise your eyebrow or anything? Because I think they were headed that way after Sammy and KO won the belts. I think Sammy offered his help as the Bloodline breakup was happening. So it's just a continuation of that. That didn't strike me as being out of his character or something that he would do. So natural extension of where the storyline was going. I felt okay with that aspect of it.
How do you think Jay handled all that was thrown at him in terms of, you know, the scenarios he had to react to? He had a lot of people to play off of who were giving him, you know, you got Sammy, you got Drew, you got Riddle, you had Dom later, in others. I mean, did Jay look like, hey, this is a really good addition to Raw and he's going to have a chance to shine and get a lot of TV time?
Yeah, I like the handshake that he did with Sammy. And then the part I really liked was with Dominic when he was looking around, like, this is surely a setup. And he kept looking over Dominic's shoulder, looking behind him, making sure, like, I know this could be a setup. And then gradually he became more accepting. Dominic did very well in his role as well, being sincere. I mean, it was kind of, I don't want to say, like, unpolished, but, I mean, that's what they were going for. He was just like, let me just talk to you person to person. I thought that Dominic's delivery was very well. He didn't seem like, you know, he was being shady or anything. It's a real subtle line, and I thought that he hit it perfectly. But as far as Jay, I think he hit all of – he's had such good practice with all this Bloodline stuff that's been going on, and I think he came through on all the areas he was supposed to hit tonight.
Very good. All right. Let's pause here, introduce ourselves, and then we'll get to phone calls and emails, too, and other topics from this show, including history being made. Gunther on the verge of being the longest-reigning Intercontinental Champion unless he decides to defend the title tomorrow night on NXT in an unannounced match and loses it. I think odds are good. Gunther's going to break that record at a march through a lot of champions. I was waiting for Tito Santana. He's the guy I remember as my first Intercontinental Champion. And I was waiting for him and Don Morocco to show up, and they both did get their credit during the 80s glory period of the Intercontinental title that made the title special to me. I know people had their Mr. Perfect and Randy Savage and Ultimate Warrior era and then Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin and Edge. You know, everybody has that era where the titles were, and Cody Rhodes for that matter, where the title made an impact on them. But I'm glad to see WWE go back as far as they did to the beginning with Patterson and Pedro too. Okay, so this is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, September 4th, 2023. And happy Labor Day, happy September to everybody. I'm Wade Keller, the host, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter, the website pwtorch.com, and the host of various podcasts, including the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show and Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, along with several VIP exclusive shows, including our post payback and post all out roundtables for our VIP members this weekend, a special emergency breaking edition news of The Fix with Todd Martin that I hosted discussing the firing of CM Punk, a big story over the weekend, Wade Keller Hotlines, Everything with Rich and Wade, and more. Check out VIP membership, pwtorch.com/govip. You can sign up with credit card, debit card, and PayPal to get full access to our archives and all our exclusive content, access to our ad-free website, decades of retro radio shows and podcasts and back issues of our newsletter, some fascinating long-form interviews with some of Pro Wrestling's biggest names in the late 80s through the 90s and beyond. You can also sign up on Patreon or directly with your Apple account through Apple Podcasts if that's easier for you, if you're mainly interested in our VIP podcast. So check out full details, pwtorch.com/govip. Great time to go VIP as we move into the fall season with so much happening. So we'd welcome you aboard. The other voice you hear on tonight's post show is Darren Lilly. He is our Impact Wrestling TV reporter. He also hosts a VIP podcast covering Impact Wrestling with John Laszlo. Darren, welcome back to the co-host chair here on the Raw Post Show.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to discussing tonight's episode of Raw.
Yeah. Do you agree this was a good episode of Raw?
Yeah. Yeah. And did a good job of following up on the pay-per-view, whatever they call it now, on Saturday. So, yeah, did a good job.
It's called a paycheck. Oh, never mind. That was LA Knight's club.
And starting a slow build to Fastlane. So, yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, always, yes, too long, always. But they did a good job of filling up 3 hours.
Yeah, yep. Very good. So we want you to help us fill up our show. And see what I did there, Darren? Our number, if you want to participate, is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad if you want to be on the show. You can also call that number, just listen in. A lot of you do that, and that's certainly fine, too. You can also live stream our show through the internet, through Wi-Fi, if you want to. Many ways to listen to the show live and also on delay by downloading it through a podcast app. Just search Wade Keller on your podcast app. We know a lot of people were left having to switch podcast players with Stitcher being shut down a few days ago, and a lot of you have moved over to other players, including Apple Podcasts. So welcome, and thank you for following us to another podcast player. Great to have you still listening. Our email, if it's easier for you to listen that way or participate that way, I should say, you can't listen by email. It is wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. If you do listen to our show on delay and you want to join us live, we put links up in our TV reports at pwtorch.com. Look for the Keller TV reports on Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision. And at the top and bottom of those reports is a link you can click to live stream the show. That also is a phone number and email if you want those also. So that's the best way to find our link. You can also go to wadekellerpostshow.com, wadekellerpostshow.com, and click and navigate to the live stream. And we most often put up a link on Twitter X too. So many ways to listen to us live, but most of you just search Wade Keller on your favorite podcast app and subscribe and download the show in the morning or throughout the day, and that obviously works well too. All right, let's get rolling with our callers. And we're going to start with AJ in Virginia. AJ, you're up first. Your thoughts on Raw tonight. Welcome.
Hey, Wade, Darren, how are you guys?
Doing good. Good to hear from you.
Awesome. Yeah, it's been a while. So, hey, I thought Raw was a really good show. It was very entertaining, and I agree with everything you both said in terms of setting up Jay really well with all of the potential storylines, you know, the focus on all the folks he's wronged over the months, over the years, I think is such writing. And I can't help but wonder if it's sort of not a spillover, but they're really trying to protect every single member of the bloodline in making sure wherever they go, Raw or SmackDown, there's a story that follows them, and it's a consequential story, right, based on things that they've done over the months, over the years. So I love that focus isn't just with Roman Reigns. It's with every single character. So I thought that was really cool. And I've always been such a huge fan of the Bloodline story. There's been so many special aspects to it. The one that I always loved the most was the bond between Sammy and Jey Uso. So I thought it was really cool for Sammy to come out at the top of the show, welcome him, and also complete the story in terms of acknowledging everything Jay's been through, how it hasn't been easy, and for him to say at the end, I'm proud of you. I thought that was a really nice touch. And even after that, what I really appreciated from a storytelling perspective is notice how Sammy got in between Drew and Jay and later Riddle and Jay because he's trying to put, and I love the focus that they have there because you could tell these two guys are going to have each other's back, you know, over the next few months, however long they both stay on Raw. So I thought that was really, really cool. I was also actually at SummerSlam in Detroit. Wade, I meant to call you. I just never got around to it, but that was a really good show. And as you know, I've always been a big fan of Jey Uso. In my mind, he's the one who can dethrone Roman. But I also knew he wasn't going to win the SummerSlam match just because he hasn't built himself up yet as a really strong contender to take someone like Roman down, right? We talked about how he probably needs a stronger finisher. He really needs to build his profile up as a wrestler. And I think being on Raw now on his own, I think it's going to give him an opportunity to hopefully build up that character. And the one thing worth calling out is during SummerSlam, he got a huge pop when he first made his entrance. The crowd was behind him. They were doing the hand waves, which was super cool. It almost felt like you're at a club, right, when Jay came out. So that was cool. But within a few minutes into that match with Roman, the crowd wasn't really with him. He just wasn't able to keep them as engaged. And it felt like a pretty relatively easy win for Roman. So there's a lot of work Jay needs to do, I think, to build himself up. But I think him moving to Raw is definitely a great move and a great start at building that character up.
Darren, what do you think about that in the journey of Jay, where he stands based on how he's been booked, and what awaits him as you look at the landscape? It's been such a busy weekend with so much going on Sunday with AEW after the big news on Payback of Jay going to Raw. And, you know, I'm still kind of digesting and playing out different ideas of where this could all go. Tonight gave us some direction and some hints in that regard. Where do you think Jay is positioned with AJ's framework is kind of part of your answer.
I think they're positioning him clearly as a top guy with, like, multiple storyline directions and ways they can go with this. It wouldn't surprise me to see them give take the belt off of Seth, perhaps. I think this might be kind of a trial run to see, like, let's see what this guy has as a solo performer. And I think there's less pressure on the Raw side, you know, with Roman over on SmackDown. They're not ready to take that title off of him, and there's only so much upward mobility. But over on Raw, there's some wiggle room there, and so this will be a good test to see what he is as a solo performer. And I think they're going to see if he sinks or swims, but I think he'll come through, and it wouldn't surprise me if he took that world heavyweight title to get up to that level.
Interesting. AJ, where do you think Jay is in 2 months? You put a lot of thought into this. You watched tonight's show. You've got Drew currently as a babyface, Cody as a top babyface, Seth Rollins as a top babyface. It's crowded at the top. There's even some decent secondary babyfaces and Chad Gable and Matt Riddle and Kofi Kingston, who's and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I mean, God, I'm sure I'm leaving a couple people off too. Where do you think Jay is going to end up, or where do you want to see him end up?
Yeah, no, good, great question. So I think it needs to be a slow and steady build, right? I think that's what's made all of us appreciate Jey Uso as a character, all the members of the Bloodline. So I don't think they're going to rush anything, and I don't think they should. I think you need to give Jay hopefully a match every week. Need to get him some wins under his belt. He needs to have a finisher much stronger than a super kick that anyone can kick out of.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He needs to have something other than a spear as well. So I think – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just said good point. Yeah, I'd like to see that too.
Yeah, so I hope it's a slow build. He did have some nerves as he was talking, right? He sort of tripped over his words a little bit. It's the first time he's performing without the Bloodline. But I think Sammy in his corner is going to hopefully give him the confidence to stay on top. And hopefully the two of them kind of help each other out over the next few months through whatever situations they're put in. I can imagine Kevin Owens having an issue with Sammy showing so much support to Jay. And I wonder if that's going to lead to a potential storyline as well. So I love the fact that Jay and Sammy are on the same show. It's the one aspect that I really, really loved in terms of their brotherhood. And I hope that in itself leads to a lot of different storylines and a lot of clashes as well with different personalities.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, like if I'm, you know, booking and writing Raw, or I'm a wrestler with input on the storyline, it's like, it's kind of juicy. There's just lots of things you can do with the layering of different personalities. And I mean, I really like that Dom approached Jay too. I don't know that that leads anywhere, but it just shows everybody was welcoming Jay to Raw and trying to figure out where he stood. You know, I mean, Drew McIntyre going, I'm going to take it out on Cody if things don't go well with Jay. They put a lot of things in motion, and some of them might fade out and not be big deals, and other ones could be pivotal in the direction of Raw and the direction of some key players. And so, yeah, it's not just Jay coming out and doing a, hey, everybody, glad to be on Raw. I love to be on the red brand, and I'm excited to be here. And it wasn't generic, and I was kind of half expecting they would just sort of, you know, on Labor Day, just, you know, give us a generic Jey Uso's here and not address all that stuff, not have, you know, not even have Sammy, you know, address it, much less Drew and Dom and all that. So, yeah, it was fun.
It was cool. And, you know, I have to say, speaking of Dom, at SummerSlam, he was perhaps one of the most over folks. I mean, look, of course, people loved Jay. People loved LA Knight. It was awesome to see LA Knight get the big win there. But with Dom, the folks in the audience, the section where I was sitting, everyone was dying just to see Dom, and they were cheering for him. And he had a cameo appearance in the Seth and Finn match. But, man, people love that character, and I know they like to boo him, but I think they like to boo him out of appreciation for what the character is. And the segment between him and Jay, I thought was so cool. And it really took me back to the segment that Dom had with Charlotte a few months ago before she was going to face Rhea. And he got into the ring, and there was something about Dom where he was just super smooth in just talking to Charlotte and conveying whatever he wanted to in such an effortless way. And I kind of felt the same thing with Jay tonight. So I really think they need to give him the mic more. The fans love him. I know they like to boo him, but he's really such a great performer to watch on screen.
Darren, you want anything?
No, I think that about covers it.
AJ, anything else from Raw you want to bring up?
So apart from that, Judgment Day, I think, is one of the coolest factions. I just love what they're doing with it. I love that they have all the gold, which is really, really cool. I think the one thing on the show that still annoys me a lot is seeing Drew with a sword. He needs to get rid of that sword. I just cannot take him seriously whenever I see him with that sword. One last thing before I let you guys go. Miz is just at another level. His impersonation of LA Knight last week was so, so good. And what he did with the You Can't See Me Cena today is just gold. I mean, he is just killing it. I love the role that he's in. He really makes Raw so fun and entertaining. And in contrast to AEW, which I want to get into, but it's just like ECW on steroids. I mean, there is just so much blood and gore. Whenever I see any snippets of AEW, it's so nice to have a show like WWE, Raw and SmackDown now, which it's just pure entertaining, and it's just fun. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well.
Darren, anything you want to add to that?
Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I would view that Miz segment the opposite. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm annoyed by the Miz, but I mean, that's part of his gimmick, I suppose. But yeah, I didn't think it was that great. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I've been enjoying Miz. I think Miz is doing good Miz work right now. The LA Knight feud, I think, for reasons I wrote about in my report at pwtorch.com, I might get into as the show progresses here. We're certainly well on my Wade Keller hotline summary of Raw for VIP members after I complete this show. I thought they went a good direction, pivoted a little bit with Miz and LA Knight away from he's a fad, he's going to flame out, and more towards the last couple segments with Knight and now Miz, going in a different and, I think, more sustainable and better direction. Cool. AJ, appreciate the call. Call again. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. We're counting on non-NFL fans carrying the color portion of the show for the next 2 months. So especially non-NFL fans who are choosing Raw over the NFL, step up and be part of the conversation. Okay. We're going to go to John in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a decent chance he's our on-site correspondent in attendance tonight. John, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Wade?
Good. So you attended tonight in person?
I did. I did not email you to be the on-site correspondent, but I can tell you about it.
Yeah, let's talk. What stood out to you? And we'll go with some questions after that.
First, the gentleman that was just on before me, did he attend as well?
No, we don't have an outside correspondent.
Okay. I just came in right when he was finishing up. Yeah, so I'll tell you, the crowd was very hot. I don't know how that translated on TV, but early on, very hot. Had a lot of big acts early on in the show, so the crowd was definitely into it.
Yeah, so we could start in any number of places. I want to get we've spent the bulk of the time so far talking about Jey Uso. How big of a star did Jey Uso seem to you based on the crowd reaction in the building tonight? Was this, wow, this is a huge surprise. When we bought tickets, we didn't think Jey would be here. He's a megastar. Or was it something less than that but still good? How would you characterize it?
He felt like an absolute megastar tonight, Wade, and I'll tell you this. I don't know if it's because the fans just love doing the hand-waving motion, you know what I mean, or it's just that he's that big of a star. But when he came out, and, you know, we were all looking at the Tron waiting for him to come out, and then we saw he was coming through the stands, the fans really got into it. And when the new music is kind of weird. I don't know if you guys caught that. It's a different version of the music with just him instead of him and Jimmy. I believe the lyrics were something along the lines of I'm doing it on my own now, something like that. But it's a similar beat and song, but it's just him solo on the song. But the fans were definitely into him. He had one of the louder pops in night, but not the loudest.
Loudest went to
John Cena, who was not there.
Yes. Pause for a second, John, because you might not have seen this the way we did on TV, but you got to see it in person with your perspective instead of the director's choice for us. When they announced John Cena, they went to a guy in the crowd who was like, no way. And then they went to a wide shot, and my eye just went to a woman in her 20s, it looked like, and it looked like she was about to faint. She put her hands up to her head like, oh, my God, John Cena's going to be here. And I didn't freeze or rewind, but I didn't have a chance to see more. But, I mean, it was like the Beatles showing. It was like Beatlemania when Cena's music played. There's fans who are just like, oh my God, we're going to see Cena. And, I mean, part of it is Cena's done a really nice job since leaving WWE as a full-time player. And he's really done a nice job, you know, turning himself into a crossover celebrity. You hear him on commercials. You see him in movies and TV series. And he's been good. I like him way better outside of WWE than I do in WWE now or ever, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, it was kind of mean for WWE and you know, Miz's character, but WWE on a whole, to tease fans with that. But I noticed that. So, John, having said that, I want to know, you said he got the biggest reaction. Was there anyone around you who was, like, angry, like, at Miz or angry at WWE or just, like, crestfallen over him not really being there?
Absolutely. So I had my six-year-old son with me. He was not happy, let me tell you, because he loves him some John Cena. And I had my my six-year-old father with me, who's not a wrestling fan. And let me tell you, that Miz segment really threw him for a loop. He had no idea what was going on. I said, Pop, I'll explain this when we're in the car, because it did not make any sense to him. But, yeah. You could tell the kids in the crowd were definitely upset. And speaking of that shot you saw that we didn't see, I could kind of tell as the music was playing, the camera crew was running towards the side with the cameras. I'm like, if Cena's about to come out, the camera should be right in the middle aisle ready for him to come. So I kind of pretty quickly saw what was going on there, that this was another Miz deal. But for me, I enjoyed the segment. It was cool. I was on my end, I was hoping that LA Knight was going to interrupt him, and that didn't happen. Kind of an odd segment to not have anybody interrupt. Would you guys agree?
Darren?
Yeah. I thought someone should have come out just to put me out of my misery, but let alone. But yeah, it would have been a perfect thing for LA Knight to come out right then. Yeah.
And who knows? I didn't know if they, you know, maybe they're not continuing to, but the way that Miz spoke, that they're probably going to, you know, rehash that maybe on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I would say the second loudest pop in the night was definitely Seth Rollins. The crowd was into Seth Rollins for sure. So.
Yeah. The singing, it seemed like there was a long break between his beginning of his ring entrance and when he actually started talking. Did they play his music and the crowd sing that whole time, or did they kind of go dark for a couple minutes?
He did the new thing that he does now where the spotlight and the crowd sings for, God, it felt like 5 minutes. Was that on TV?
No. They went to a break and did a backstage interview segment or video or something, yeah.
Yeah, they did the whole spotlight deal, and it was like literally, it felt like 5 minutes of just without the actual soundtrack playing. So it was, I've seen that bit on TV the last few weeks, but yeah, it went for a while, so it was definitely interesting.
was it fun? I mean, was it fun having it last that long and the crowd being into it, or were you like, all right, let's get moving here?
it was fun at first, and then it's like, okay, am I supposed to keep doing this? I mean, this is getting weird now. That's how I would explain it. It's like, all right, this is a moment, and it's like, all right, I feel like the moment's passed. What are we doing next? But if it's a commercial break, I get it. They're trying to buy time, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's their format. That's the format that they use, and it works. But you know, it can try people's patience. But I bet for some people that was the highlight of the night.
Yeah, absolutely, and. I'll let you guys, if you got any more questions for me, but I'm going to make one comment on a particular superstar. I don't know how it translated on TV, but they got a lot of work to do to get JD McDonagh over because it is not working right now, in my opinion.
Ooh.
From a live perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know. When he came out, nobody cared. And I know they're trying to kind of push him and get him in this Judgment Day angle, but, you know, they've kept him off TV for so long since they called him up from NXT, and it's, now they're just kind of shoving him in here. I feel like this is the first time we've seen him wrestle on Raw since he faced Dolph Ziggler, like, 4 months ago or something? So it's the crowd did not care about JD McDonagh at all.
Yeah. I mean, Darren, does that surprise you to hear that? I mean, it's not like they've done a ton to establish JD at this point.
No, I'm not surprised at all. He hasn't, you know, been that big of a presence and if you're not halfway paying attention to the show, if you've got casual viewers, you've probably never, it's possible you've never even seen them, probably. So I could understand that, especially if you got a lot of casuals there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Darren, do you have a question for John?
Regarding the main event, were people anticipating, were they satisfied with that as a main event? Gable's a great wrestler, but he's not pushed as a top guy. So were people looking forward to that as the main event?
I can't speak for what was on TV, but they ran the ad like during the show that we're going to get Gable and Gunther for the main event. The dark match, which I actually had to leave, and I apologize, I had to leave like before the main event was even over because my son was asleep in his chair. So we got to see Gunther and come out and see a few minutes of the match, and I had to get him out of there. But the dark match they were advertising for after that, which I was disappointed because we had to go, was Cody and Dominic, which was going to go on after the air. So they were kind of pushing that during commercial break more as their main event than the Gunther-Gable match.
I just wonder if fans that Cody wasn't there when it was clear he wasn't going to be there. I think a lot of people go to Raw expecting to see Cody. They got Jay. They got a tease of John Cena. But no Cody. How'd that go over?
Yeah. Cody merchandise everywhere. When I went to the concourse to get a drink or get some food for my son, I mean, everybody had Cody merchandise on. And I was definitely antsy for it. I was hoping maybe at 10 o'clock, top of the hour, he was going to come out and at least make an appearance, do the whole shindig. But, it was right around that 10 o'clock hour they started announcing to us during the commercial break that he was going to be the dark match main event. So that probably got people, their spirits back up. But you could tell people were antsy to see him, which I didn't get to see him, unfortunately, because I had to get the kid home.
Yeah. Yep. Darren, anything else you want to add? I kind of jumped in after you just brought up one
point. Was there any part of the show that, from a live perspective, that kind of dragged for you, that the crowd was kind of down for?
Yeah, so my son was begging me for a Sprite, and I was trying to pick the right time. You don't want to go get a Sprite and Cody Rhodes is coming out.
Right.
So as soon as Shayna Baszler's music hit, I made a beeline to it. And not that I'll enjoy that. But I can tell you, when I was out there trying to get a Sprite, you wouldn't know that there was an event going on in that arena. So it was pretty quiet. That was probably the lowest point. Raquel and Chelsea Green, it was short, so, it is what it is. But I would say, yeah, definitely Shayna and Zoe, Dennis for that. And I would say the Sammy-JD match, because at that point we had seen Sammy, three times? So they weren't terribly into that match either. So that, I would say those were probably the two lowest points of the night.
Okay.
What did you just think in general of how they weave Jay into the show tonight? I mean, he was a big part of it. Not a lot in front of you, but certainly the video screen showed the instances of him being part of things. And did you kind of get a sense as things went on how fans were reacting to him in different contexts, reacting to Sammy, reacting to Drew, reacting to Dom? Was the crowd into those different the different dynamics that they placed him in?
Yeah, I think so. In the crowd, I think we got the biggest laugh out of the Dom segment, where Dom went over and spoke to Jay. Thought that was pretty good. I think they did a really good job of kind of planting seeds, kind of seeing where Jay may go, because in my head I'm thinking, what's on Monday Night Raw really for Jay outside of maybe feuding with the Judgment Day? But yeah, I think the every time that we saw him on the screen, that the fans were definitely interested in seeing what he's going to get into in the coming weeks, because I mean, it's a whole new world. It's Jay outside of the bloodline, which kind of feels weird, doesn't it?
For sure. And I mean, I think that's what's intriguing too, is we so identify him with the bloodline, imagining him outside of it now, there's this whole other fertile roster of where he has history with people and doesn't have history with some people too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as, I know you guys usually ask this, so I'll go ahead and answer it. Building would be a, I don't know if you call it a soft sellout, but they had every seat that was available was full, but they had about 3/4 of the upper deck typed off, which they typically do when they come to Charlotte.
Okay. Yeah, so, but a pretty packed lower bowl, or was it pretty sparse behind the hard camp?
I was on the hard camp side, so there was like a few spots around the hard camp, not much. And then they had that one section on the hard cam side, or the opposite of the hard cam, where the cam was shooting, that they had the upper deck, and it was full. And the lower bowl was completely full outside of that one little spot next to the hard cam. So, great crowd. Probably the hottest crowd I've been part of in Charlotte in a long time. So the crowd was definitely into the product. There's no question about that.
Was there anything off camera, either during commercial breaks, before the show, after the show of note in terms of crowd chants or crowd interaction that stood out to you? And also through the lens of your six-year-old, was there anything that jumped out that you think they did an especially good job on, or maybe didn't do a good job on in terms of keeping the attention of a young kid who's a fan, but obviously is going to approach things differently than even a 10-year-old in terms of the stimulation of everything going on for a TV production?
They did, the typical DX cam and showed a few video packages. They showed a Tribute to the Troops video package. But outside of that, during commercial breaks, really just some random video packages on the screen. We saw a lot. Did you guys get the Intercontinental title holders? Little shindig.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
That was cool. We got every time that popped up, so that was cool. But outside of that, nothing, they weren't throwing T-shirts in the crowd or anything. But they did a pretty good job. I could tell you, having a six-year-old there, it's WWE, and you take that risk. But some of the chants, we had some probably 25 to 28-year-olds behind us that, when the holy shit, excuse my language, chant start and stuff like that, it's like, I'm a six-year-old here. What do you do, right? You brought your six-year-old to WWE, so you kind of have to pay that price.
Yeah. Yeah, some would say that's questionable parenting. I think WWE is, pretty safe environment for that these days. They didn't promise a blood and guts match, but you've got to know your kid. You know what I mean? You've got to know if they're going to be okay with it. I'm not sure Chad Gable's daughter is going to be okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, the funny thing to me, it was they got a Tiny Balls chant going, Miz. And I look over at my son, and he's chanting too. And I'm like, oh, God, what have I done? But, no, it's all good. It was good stuff. It was a good show overall. I enjoyed it. I would have kind of disappointed we didn't get Cody within the actual Raw show. Especially, it's Labor Day. You'd think they would have kind of focused on him being the American Nightmare. But outside of that, man, great show. They really loaded it up early with some of the major talent, which was good for me because my son wasn't going to last anyway. Overall, really enjoyed it. And looking forward to seeing where all these new storylines head, especially with Jey Uso. A lot of things could happen there.
What happened before Raw in terms of any kind of dark match or non-Raw matches?
Yeah. I was there. We got there in time. We were there for main event. So your first main event match with Bronson Reed went over on Akira Tozawa. And then the second main event match was Tommaso Ciampa beat Riddick Moss. And the fans were not really – fans were not really into the Bronson Reed, Akira Tozawa, but they were definitely into Ciampa. So they were digging him. And,
that's good.
Decent match. Yeah, decent match.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot Riddick Moss was still on the roster. I haven't seen that guy in ages. So that's kind of what main event does, though, right? You kind of see guys that kind of hang out at catering. So
it's like the people warming up in the bullpen. Just they're giving them reps, but holding them off to the side for a little bit. What did they advertise? Did they advertise locally any match that they didn't deliver?
You know what, Wade? I did not see. I saw a commercial for the event early on, and it was very brief. But I never saw anything locally for the event. I Googled. Last few days, I was Googling Raw Preview, and all I could find was obviously the Gunther and Gable and the Viking Raiders versus McIntyre and Riddle match. That's all that I saw advertised online. But, no, locally I didn't see anything at all.
Yeah. All right, cool. John, anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
Yeah, one more thing. Now that I brought that match up, I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet, but I definitely think they're planting the seeds for Drew to go heel. I think it's – I would say it's kind of obvious at this point. Would you guys agree?
Yes, and I have no problem with the fact that that is apparently where they're going. They're not trying to hide it because I think that the way we get there, the journey is really interesting right now. I just don't know what to, like, I don't know what the break point is, but I like the story they've set up, where you can imagine Drew's perspective. You can imagine sympathizing with Drew's perspective, but at some point he's going to overreact. He's going to be a jerk or something. And, you know, you're going to be given a reason to be against him. But along the way, you're sort of like, yeah, I can kind of see him being a good guy and being rightfully suspicious, maybe a little paranoid, or a little more suspicious than I'd be, but I kind of get it. Darren, how do you think they're telling that story so far? And then do you have in mind an idea of how they might, what the breakpoint might be?
I'm satisfied with the way that they're telling it. I've also kind of leaned towards, is it necessarily a heel turn? Is he just going to have a more aggressive persona? It could go either way, the way that they're telling the story right now. Because, I mean, as you just pointed out, there's some sympathetic reasons of why he's acting the way he is. And then, you know, Cody bringing in Jay. Like, I can kind of see if things go wrong, he'd be mad at Cody. But also, he could take things too far. And it's the fun part of it is that you're just waiting to see what's going to be the cross the line and who he does it against, because it could be against Riddle, could be against New Day, could be against Cody. So it's just a matter of time of waiting it out to see what the breaking point is going to be, and I'm kind of looking forward to it. And I like McIntyre with an edge, so I'm cool with all this.
I think it's good. I mean, you know, sword or no sword, Drew McIntyre with more of an edge is going to be good for him. I think the Cody's taking his gimmick, you know. Drew played what the role that Cody plays now during the Thunderdome era. And, you know, he was the guy, hey, hope you're all having a good time. We're all here putting on a show. Hey, Michael Cole, you know, smiling corporate guy. And Drew's got more in him. He's got more range than that. I think he's good at that. But Cody's come in and taken that spot. You know, we don't need Drew to play second base. We need him to play shortstop or left field or catcher. You know, like, Cody's doing that now. So I think it's really good that we're seeing Drew expand or move into a different category. John, any closing words from you?
Yeah, I'll just say I agree with you guys 100%. I love me some heel Drew McIntyre much more than the face version. And when you think about it, if you just look at the docket, if he turns heel, you got a Cody feud there that you could do, and then you could have him chase the world title from Seth. I mean, if he stays face, I just don't – there's not much there for him on Raw. So I think heel turn's coming for sure.
All right. Well, John, thank you for calling. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a great night. And I'm a newly VIP member. I subscribed about 2 months ago, and I'm loving it. So everybody go VIP. And I listen every episode. I just don't call in a lot. I'll try to make it a habit, start calling in and chat with you guys.
Awesome. Hey, John, actually, before you go, I thought of two quick follow-ups, not related to Raw. Sort of related, not related to you and Raw. How did your kid like the experience? Like, just overall, is it something he's going to want to do again?
Going to Raw, it was great. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I can tell you from having a six-year-old, take him to a SmackDown, you know, you get that 8 to 10, it's a little easier.
Yep.
It's on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
But,
yep.
Yeah, if it was me and the boys, it's all good. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I typically go every time they come to town if I can. I mean, I'm a WWE lifer. I'm going to go. I've gone when the product sucks, and I've gone like tonight when the product's hot. So yeah, definitely enjoyed it.
My other question is, how do you utilize your VIP membership? I would like asking people, your new member last 2 months, what do you do with your VIP membership that brings value to it?
Yeah. So, like I said, just kind of now getting into it. And my favorite go-to every single week is you and Todd, The Fix. That's my jam, right? That's my jam.
Awesome.
And really, that's my number one I have to listen to, and I'm starting to get into some of the other shows as well. Now, that's my favorite.
Cool. Thank you, John.
I appreciate it.
That
character, you guys have a good dynamic.
Yeah, we have fun. And obviously Todd's knowledge and the scope and vast there's a better word than scope, but yeah, vast scope of knowledge and his firm opinions on things. I really enjoy talking with him about pro wrestling every week, and I feel bad for people who would enjoy what Todd and I produce every week. I feel bad that there's people out there who just won't experience it, but they would love it if they did. Like, I just know there's so many more people out there who'd be like, I'm a wrestling fan, and this is exactly different enough from all the other bombast and fanboys and all that stuff that's out there. And, you know, and they would just love it. And I like feel like I'm letting so many people down by not figuring out a way to just get that podcast in their earbuds so that they go, ah, this is what I've been looking for. How did this perfect podcast to fit me escape me all these years? So anyway, that's my, you know, it's meant to be a sales pitch. It's genuinely how I feel sometimes. I wish we could find a way to reach more people and get more people addicted. Yeah, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, yeah, and you get to get an update on his cats every week, so that's great.
Yes, that's been a new addition this year. All right,
gentlemen, have me on.
Awesome. Thanks, John. I look forward to hearing from you again soon.
All right, y'all take care.
Yep, you bet. All right, if you want to join the show, the number is 347-215-8558. Push 1 when you call. All right, we're going to go to Brad from Florida next, and then Sean from Murfreesboro is on deck. Brad, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about Raw tonight?
Yeah, man. Hey, Darren. Hey, Wade. I missed a little bit. We had a little emergency here. My wife saw a bug, so I missed like 4 or 5 minutes of John's call. But whatchamacallit. Did he bring up the Seth Nakamura thing? Because, first of all, I thought this was a great, great, great episode. I loved it. And honestly, the 3 hours flew by. I don't want to be ultra critical of it, but did he bring up the Seth Nakamura thing?
Nope. We haven't covered that yet.
Okay. So because I thought that out of everything, and there was so much that tied in well tonight that made sense, whether it was JD McDonough or the Sammy J thing, which you guys have covered, and, you know, different things that I thought were so well done. You know, even, you know, Drew and Riddle having a problem with Jay, you know, because of what he's caused them. Everything made sense. The thing that made absolutely zero sense was Nakamura. First of all, Seth, why do you want to have another championship match? You're banged up. I get it. Fighting champion, lots of pride. But at a certain point, I mean, that's the type of thing that if I'm watching wrestling for, you know, a couple weeks, I'm saying this is kind of like, why would this guy want to fight him again? And then Nakamura, even weirder, saying, no, I don't want another championship match.
No. Yep.
It's like, hey, you want to play in the Super Bowl? No. Okay, so you don't want to play so you don't want the chance for the championship. And then Seth pushing the envelope, not saying, all right, I guess I'll just keep my championship, screw you. Instead, he says, wait, I'm going to ask you one more time. Maybe I'm just not understanding you. I'm not understanding your language, your native tongue. Do you want this match? No. Can you guys tell me in what world does that make any sense whatsoever? And then if I'm a fan there, I'm super disappointed. Instead of being like, hey, Ricochet is going to, you know, come out here and have a great match with Nakamura, who just put on a crazy display and a great main event match. Instead, now I'm disappointed that it's Ricochet instead of Seth, because Seth's talking about a championship match right here, right now. Again, it made no sense. I don't understand what the writers were thinking, and I just want your take on that.
Yeah, I am sort of trusting that this will make more sense a week or two from now, Darren. My thinking was that Seth would want to get Nakamura in the ring again, and Nakamura would say no, and he'd say, well, let's make it a non-title match. If you beat me, then you've earned a rematch. But, you know, you want another shot at my back? You got one, but you don't get a shot at my title till you beat me. Something along those lines would have made more sense. And then Nakamura could go no and play hardball, and then force Seth into offering a title shot so Seth can get his hands on it. But for Seth to just offer it outright and for Nakamura to go no, I guess, you know, it happened just during the show, and then more things happened. I haven't really thought through all the different possibilities of how it might ultimately make sense. But, Darren, did any theory cross your mind then or now?
It didn't make any sense to me. It seems like they were both saying the wrong thing, because Seth is supposed to be smarter than that, meant to just run on pure emotion. Didn't make any sense for him to issue the challenge. And then why on earth would Nakamura say no? And then on top of that, why would Damian Priest not cash in right then when the guy just got run to the steps and like, and Rhea's like, not now. I'm like, why not now? This is the best time. It didn't make any sense. And as Brad just said, it kind of disappointed the fans, because I'm sure, you know, everybody likes to see the cash in or, you know, a title match. Instead, you got Nakamura against Ricochet, which is fine, but they'd have rather seen the title match. So, yeah, that was kind of an odd segment of people just saying the wrong thing for their character.
Yeah. I mean, things are doing make enough sense lately. I'm not sitting here going, oh, my God, they're incompetent and they haven't thought of that and how they now think of it. I just figure this will make more sense. I mean, I'll love it, but I do think it'll ultimately make more sense. Brad, do you have any ideas? Brad, I think you might have muted.
Oh, shoot. Sorry, I did mute myself. Sorry.
There you go. Yep, that's okay.
You know, I was saying it's going to make more sense. It's going to make more sense. And then I'm saying to myself, how? Like, in what world do you turn down? There's nothing that can make it make sense. Like, the only thing I could think of is maybe Nakamura wanted him to chase him and then sneak attack. You know, he wanted to sucker him in with a sneak attack. I don't know. But that's the only thing that could mildly make sense. And I don't know how well that's going to be communicated. So I don't know. Whatever. Really weird. But again, the rest of the show was so coherent. It was like you brought two guys in off the street to write that segment, and then everything else was written by, like, the normal people. Like, it was just weird. You know, there was a couple other things like that also. The other thing that doesn't make sense to me, just in general, Zoe Stark, like, that to me wasn't an obvious face turn that she did with Trish at Payback the other day. And then to see her come out tonight, I'm saying to myself, like, you know, she wasn't acting like a baby face. Like, she maybe a little bit in the ring, a little bit, but she was still doing the, like, cocky count to three before the, you know, the pinfalls happened, like, putting her arm up, one, two, you know, as she's pinning Baszler. She said no one can hang with Zoe Stark in the backstage interview before Baszler interrupted or whatever. Like, just more cocky things that a babyface doesn't typically say. And, like, I'm just confused by all of it. I'm confused why Baszler shook her hand. I'm confused, is she a babyface just because she attacked Trish? And even then, I was like, oh, maybe Trish is the one who's turning because she's fed up with Zoe. Just that thing that also wasn't clear to me. And I don't know if after tonight it's any clearer to you guys, but I just don't know if what Zoe is right now.
Yeah, so I just think Trish is done for a while, and they wanted to explain their separation, and then they put her out there. They didn't want fans to love her because I think she's going to end up with Baszler in a new partnership. Basically, Baszler and Zoe lost Ronda and Trish as their respective partners, and they're going to end up being a team for a while, and I think it's a good fit. I don't think they wanted you to end up really liking Zoe. Todd Martin talked about that on the Payback post show, that, you know, it didn't necessarily seem like a babyface turn as much as just writing off the dynamic or the relationship between them. Darren, how'd you feel?
Yeah, it just kind of struck me that they're both in the same position of, should we be cheering them? Are they heels? What is going on here? And they're kind of both looking for direction. And I wasn't surprised at the end when they shook hands and it's like, oh, we had the mutual respect thing. Let's be a team, which is kind of almost cliche at this point. So it looks like they're headed that way. And I don't necessarily know if it bodes well, because the emphasis on women's tag teams is not so great, but there's an opening for a team to shine. So maybe they will get some spotlight there when Piper Niven comes back. I guess they said she wasn't medically cleared. So I could see them getting the belts, and I don't know who they would go against, because, again, that tag team division isn't that strong. But I think you get a lot out of both of them, but they need some direction. Maybe this will be it.
Brad, yeah. You want to follow up?
Yeah, thanks, Darren. No, and Darren, I'm glad you brought up the women's tag. I couldn't believe that, I was going to say Doudrop, that she's injured again, Piper. I couldn't believe it. I mean,
she's actually
not.
She's out.
Oh, she's not.
She's out with an illness, and they're playing up the idea that the title, you know, tag titles are cursed because so many people do get injured early on. But yeah, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful checked on that and sent out an update just saying that that she's out with an undisclosed illness, might miss a couple weeks or something. But
gotcha. You know, it's funny, and as much as I love this show and I love so many things about it, I loved it. But there were so many other like little things that were like kind of funny, like Raquel goes, and Dom's gonna be barred from ringside. Well, Raquel, did you realize there's like four more of them other than Dom? So like, I mean, Dom being banned, fine, but like, how about like, you know, if she said, oh, it's gonna be in a steel cage, or it's gonna be in a, you know, I don't know, you know, enclosed environment, whatever. But that was just really funny to me too, like. I think, though, that is a perfect opportunity for J.D. McDonagh to prove himself to Rhea. And I think that's what they'll set up. Like, Dom can't help. Who can? Oh, J.D. McDonagh. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden, Dom likes him. Save Dom. Save Damian Priest. Save Finn loves him. Save Rhea. He's in. You know, and I think that that's a kind of good way to go about it next week with this Raquel match. You know, I would imagine that's kind of the way it's going to go. And I think it's really cool with JD trying to ingratiate himself to that group and wanting to be in. But I also thought it was super cool that Dominic went up to Jay, and Jay actually, you know, I know he's not going to, but that he seemed receptive and didn't just super kick Dom in the face. Like, even the way Dom talked to him, it really came across as kind of genuine and sort of just very interesting, like just tying things together that, you know, you normally wouldn't see. So I really liked that, kind of offering Jay a spot in the Judgment Day, you know, based on their past histories together and sort of their commonalities. And, you know, really quick, and I know Sean is waiting, but on the, I waited an hour or so, or almost an hour or so. I just want to give it a minute here. I think the trade is going to be for Cody. I really do, guys. I don't think that they're, first of all, Cody introducing Jay, it makes it make sense to me. And, you know, there's not much for Cody to do. We know he's not going to be taking on Seth for that World Heavyweight Championship, nor does he want that World Heavyweight Championship. And I don't know how much longer you can go without having him get in the scene for that. He's faced all of Judgment Day. He's done everything there is to do. Everyone else is a babyface. I really think it's for Cody. I can't imagine who else it would be. You know, I nothing else makes sense to me. And the fact that Cody introduced it, you know, I can see Roman being really pissed on Friday nights. Like, you brought, you know, Jay, you know, Jay screwed me and he brought this guy over here. And who's going to pay for this now? Jimmy, you're his brother. Or Solo, you're his brother. You know, I could see like more tension arising from it, just Cody being there. And I just think there's more for Cody to do on SmackDown because there's not much for him to really do other than come out and give promos on Raw now. So, and, you know, on the Jay hand-waving thing, you know, the Street Profits were doing that or have been doing that, and I guess Jay just kind of stole it, you know?
Yeah. Darren, anything you want to say about that possibility?
I'm intrigued by that. And if I'm not mistaken, was Cody on Raw last week? Think he was, so maybe they're trying to do like a trial to see if Raw just tanks if he's not on it, and if ratings have stabilized, they're like, yeah, we could have him some fresh opponents by putting him on SmackDown. I'm intrigued by it, and I think they have enough going on Raw where he wouldn't necessarily, you know, ratings aren't going to just crash, and they have enough storyline options. I would like to see it.
Cool. Brad, anything else you want to...
My very, very last thing, and I'll let you get to Sean. I'll let you get to Sean, but Sammy and Jay, do you think that this has a chance of turning into a tag team and upsetting KO, where KO, you know, maybe goes heel or feels left out or feels disrespected or whatever it is? Can you see that being an angle that they take, or you think this was just a greeting of kind of tying everything in together from the past and moving past all that, or, you know, kind of moving forward from that angle? Because I do think that would be cool to tie Sammy and Jay together as a tag team and see some jealousy come out of that from Kevin Owens and start something there as well, in addition to having them in the tag team scene versus Judgment Day.
Yeah, I mean, that crossed my mind. There's a whole array of possibilities. I think Kevin Owens could get shipped to SmackDown, and that would just free up Sammy to team with Jay. And if they think they'd rather do that as a feud against Priest and Balor, then have Jay immediately in the singles ranks where Seth is a babyface champion and Cody, you know, if he stays, is the top babyface. You know, well, I think there's definitely, like, you know, looking at the lay of the land, there's a possibility that I think it makes more sense if Kevin Owens is the one who gets shipped to SmackDown, because then you just, you know, that doesn't become the key issue. Because I don't know if you want Sammy and Jay teaming. I don't know if you want the sidebar of how Kevin Owens feels being a factor if the goal is just feud them against Judgment Day when Jay turns down Dom's overture. Darren, how do you feel?
Right. And I could see Owens being just shipped over to SmackDown so that becomes not a factor. I don't think people necessarily want to see Owens turn heel and start a whole Sammy feud again. It's been done before multiple times, and I don't think people want to see that. They like those two guys together now, so might as well keep them, you know, both face. But yeah, you might have to split up the team on Raw and SmackDown. I definitely think we're going to be seeing Jay and Sammy teaming in some capacity, though. That's just the natural how that storyline is going. So we'll see them team up, but I just don't know how permanent it might be.
Yeah. Brett, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, cool. No, if it is Kevin Owens who gets shipped over, Kevin Owens, Grayson Waller would be a great little program. I'd enjoy that. So thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good night, and I'll let you get to Big Sean in Murfreesboro.
Sweet. Thanks. Thanks, Brett. All right. So speaking of Sean in Murfreesboro, you are up now. Welcome, Sean. It's been a while. What's in your mind about Raw tonight?
Okay, well, first, I got to get a few things out there. The first thing is, Brad, you can talk as long as you want, man. Like, you're one of my favorites. You just go at it all night long. Wade wouldn't let you do all night, but don't go all night. But, you know, go as long as you want. I don't care. I'm here for the callers, man. I want to listen to callers. I want to listen to Wade talk about things. I want to listen to Darren. Wade, first, have you recovered from this weekend yet or not? Have you recovered? Tell me.
I was a little, you know, Sunday night, I was like, oh, am I done? And I'm like, oh, wait, I still have to finish part of SmackDown and part of Collision because I was so busy. I took Friday off to go to the State Fair with my family and didn't quite finish SmackDown. And then I still had some of Collision to watch, too. I had actually had been watching them in the background but hadn't typed up my reports. So I was like, oh, I got to sit down and type up my reports. And so I was like, okay, so I don't really have an afternoon off. And then I'm like, well, then there's Raw. And then I got to, you know, do the newsletters and then there's Dynamite and then there's a fix and then there's SmackDown. And then there's Collision. So maybe, next Sunday I'll exhale a little bit. But I mean, yeah, that stretch of three pay-per-views over 9 days was, you know, it's a big deal. And then you have CM Punk getting fired right in the middle of it all. So yeah. But you know what? It's been good content. It's been, you know, fun to cover. There's been a lot to talk about, a lot to write about. So, you know, certainly no complaints, Sean, but thanks for asking.
Of course. And I'll tell John too, you know, also, I mean, the fix is, you know, the best and it's awesome, of course, but the round tables are what it's all about too. You got to hear the round tables, you know, you and Todd and either Rich or Brandon or whoever's on with you guys, just talking about it and actually, you know, breaking it all down. That, you know, you got to be VIP just for that too. And Darren, how are you, man? It's been a while.
I'm doing good. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to say what Brad was talking about. First, going to Seth and Shinsuke, because he brought that up, and I'm glad he brought that up, because I was thinking the same thing about the Shinsuke part. I was like, dude, take the title match, bro. Things perfect for you in what you're trying to do. But with Seth, I just think they're playing up the fighting champion bit. He's a fighting champion. So I understood where they're coming from, like why he would want that. Like, he's ticked off. Shinsuke's been attacking him and doing all this, saying all this stuff about him and his family and all that. I think it's just more of that's where they're coming from with Seth. And he's just like, hey, I want to battle with honor. I want to fight with honor. Even if it feels to us like, okay, why are you doing that? that's his argument, or that's what his storyline argument is going to be. I'm a fighting champion. I want to keep fighting. I want to hold the title with honor and all that kind of thing. Are you with me on that? Is that kind of what you're thinking too with Seth? Because that's what I assume.
I just think Seth is, I mean, they framed it as, yeah, I kept my title, but you walked out and I didn't, and I need to make that right. And I know to get you in the ring, I have to offer you a title shot. And I mean, I think that's the pitch. I think that's the framing of it and the rationalization for it. Darren?
That's probably something along those lines, unless it's leading up to some kind of specialty match, and that's why Nakamura wanted to hold off because he has something else in mind. I don't know what kind of specialty match it would be, but maybe that's the direction they're going in, perhaps. But I hope they do explain why he turned it down, and it's not one of those things where he just glossed over it. Like, you never find out.
No. Yeah. Go ahead, John. Yep.
Well, I was just going to say, like, when this whole thing started about, when Shinsuke started doing the video packages, which were had been really good, talking about Seth's back, it's like, it's just so funny they just brought that up. I mean, he's had a back injury for, you know, for quote-unquote, you know, whatever. Like, it's just funny for this feud they went to that. And now it's just so funny how they're harping on it so hard. Like, he's got, you know, all this, his back is so messed up. Like, if he makes one move, you know, he's going to get... And I just thought it was like, it took me out of it at first because I'm like, man, they've just gone to this so hard. But I like what they've done since they've gotten there. I mean, I've enjoyed it. I just think it's, you know, could go a little overkill. But I really enjoyed their feud. I thought the match at Payback was really good. And I think what they've done with Shinsuke lately has been good. But when Ricochet came in to fight him, the first thing I thought was, oh, my gosh, Ricochet and Nakamura again. Like, we've seen it like 8 times in the last 2 months. So it just kind of, you know, you just don't get invested in the match anymore because you've seen it so much. I wanted to switch gears, though, and actually go back to kind of what we were talking. You guys brought up Raquel a little bit, and I was curious what you thought about this because I thought the match at Payback was fine other than Dom interfering. I think, to me, I know Judgment Day is all about interference and interfering, but, again, that becomes too much. And with Rhea, as over as she is and as great as she's been as a heel, I want her to win clean. I know Raquel, they're trying to protect her, and I understand where they're coming from in some ways with it, but I want Rhea to win clean. I think Rhea needs to go over clean, especially this next week. I think Rhea needs to win clean. I think it hurts her to have help. Yes, it's Raquel, and Raquel's quote-unquote taller than her, and you know they're saying stronger than her, which I think Rhea is just as strong as Raquel is, but I just think they're playing that up a little too much, and I want Rhea to win clean, and I think – ultimately, I think Raquel just has to go heel because, number one, the smiling is too much. Number two, she's hovering over everyone. I mean, Rhea is not as bad, but other people, it's just, it's way too much. She's hovering. She's, like, way taller than everybody else. I just think eventually they got to turn her heel and let her, you know, be the bully over other people. So what do you think about all I just brought up there?
Yeah, Darren, go first.
Yeah, I think that would be a – excellent direction, because Rhea does need those clean wins, so I think she should get a clean win over Raquel, and that makes her upset where she eventually turns heel. I think that would be a good direction to take it, because I wholeheartedly agree Rhea's on a roll, but you don't want it to be where she's just winning on flukes. And, you know, she can go through, like, the Candice LeRae's and such and Indy, and you know, and those squashes were fine, but I'd like to see more of that to make when she eventually goes up against like Becky Lynch or something, it's going to mean more when she's been so dominant down the line for the big money matches. So I would like to see them continue in that vein and turn Raquel. Yes. With the, all the smiling and I mean, lack of personality, at least it doesn't translate to on camera anyway. It would be a good direction to try to have her as a heel. They kind of had her that way at NXT. So I'd like to see them pursue that route.
I'm enjoying Chelsea Green's role. Obviously, they have no – they're not worried about protecting. Yeah. That's not their goal, like, in terms of credible. But she is a fun character, and her playing off of Adam Pearce, and Adam Pearce continues to be, like, I haven't said in a while because he was so good, and we mentioned a lot early on in this role, but the disheveled middle management, stressed out about everything, and all these people coming at him in all different directions, but still, you know, holding his dignity and sense of authority has been successful longer than I anticipated, but part of that success comes from people like Chelsea Green. jumping into the mix and creating someone new for him to play off of. And she's been really good in this role. And Adam Pearce is making her character work better. Anyway, Sean, I don't know if we covered everything there. Raquel Rodriguez, I'm still not sure on her. I don't think anybody is, but they're trying. Sometimes I watch her and I think there is an audience there for her. And for what she's doing, I don't know how wide it is, and I don't know how wide it'll expand. But I do think that, she's appealing to part of the audience effectively. And, it's the challenge of her being a heel because of her size. If they'd rather have her be a baby face, then her size is an issue. And that's, it's an ongoing challenge. So I don't, they're trying to figure it out. We can see them navigating the waters as they go. Sean, what else for us?
No, that's fair. And going back to what you brought up, and I will disagree. Well, John, I mean, I don't disagree with John because he has, his opinion is totally valid. I think Drew's a better babyface than a heel, but I just think that I do think he's going heel, and I think he does need to. I just think that the pandemic, he did so good in that era, man. I really wish he would have had fans then. I know we've said that a lot, and I don't mean to harp on it, but it sucks that he didn't have fans and to really enjoy that face run because it was really good for that year. It was really good, really impactful. It meant a lot to me watching it, but he needs to go heel, and I wish New Day could go heel too. Because I understood, of course, you talked about why Drew would be upset tonight. I mean, I can see why, because Kofi came in, interfered in the match for no reason. I mean, it was just stupid why he'd get involved in it. And I'm just over New Day. I'm personally just over them. Him and Xavier, I appreciate what they've done. Again, for as long as they've done, they've been great. But now it's washed up. It's done. Either turn them heel or do – I know it's – like you said, it's merchandise and I get all that, but turn them heel. So what do you think about maybe New Day turning heel, or what do you think they might go with Kofi and Xavier when Xavier comes back? Because Kofi's cold at this point, very, very cold.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of over it, but at the same time, I think that Kofi's been good in this role. You know what I mean? Like, I think being, Drew, yeah, or, I don't know. I just think this, I want to sort of, like, appreciate that we're actually getting, even with all the other stuff that they continue to do, the goofy stuff, that is grating to me. I think we're seeing that slice of the real Kofi, the multidimensional grown-up human being in this dynamic with Drew that I like. So I'm hesitant to, focus on wanting to change them right now because I actually think, Kofi right now is an important part of a pretty compelling storyline with Drew and Riddle and New Day. So I'm on board with them more now than if you had asked me a month ago in terms of kind of staying where they are. But eventually, yeah, it'd be nice to see them shift.
Darren, what do you think?
I think they have a lot left to offer, but they've been doing that act for so long. It's something's got to change. I don't necessarily know if a heel turn would even take. I'm at a loss for what to do with New Day because, I mean, yes, they've got value still, but you've got to tweak the character somewhat because it's just tired. You got to change, the theme music, everything, the outfits. But there's something still there, but you've got to make some kind of change. They've got a lot of value.
I do like Drew. I mean, if Drew turns heel, I like him against Kofi. Like, I do like that. I mean, it'd be a fine match and have Drew beat him and all that. Like, that would be okay. I mean, the way they're telling the story is okay. I mean, Riddle's been so damaged, it's really unfortunate because I think there was a lot there with Riddle, but it is kind of what it is now. I guess the last thing I wanted to quickly bring up, because we haven't really talked about it too much with, as far as Gable and Gunther, because I want to talk about that a little bit because I know it was a big main event. I thought they did a fantastic job building it, like they have for a lot of main events. They build them up so well, the lineage of the title, Gable, the little promo, just being more serious, talking about wanting to take that title from them. Everything about it was really, really good. The only thing about having these Raw main events like that is there's so many commercial breaks, and it takes you so out of the match.
Mm-hmm.
I just went through it, and I'm like, they're going to the Raw picture. It's a split screen, like you say, Wade. I'm with you on that split screen. They go to the split screen breaks, and it's just like, oh, it's so monotonous and so monotonous, and then they come back, and then they do the minute or two, and it's like, oh, we're going to go back to a commercial again. We'll be right back. And it's just, you know, that's the bad thing about TV main events that just really hurts it for me, because they take the time away. And then the ending was fantastic, because, again, Michael does such a good job selling the match and building it up, and the near falls he does a really good job with. And I thought Gable did a really – it was a fun match, but it wasn't long enough. So I wanted to hear what you guys thought about the build up and then the match itself.
Yeah, I mean, the momentum of those commercial breaks is tough. I get why they do it. You know, they've studied the numbers, and especially with split screen, they feel like, hey, at least you're getting to keep an eye on things. But it's tough when it feels 50-50, you know, break versus action until the final stanza. And this match kind of deserved, you know, full attention for full momentum. It was a good match. I mean, you know, it was Gunther dominating Gable, as he should, frankly. And Gable getting hope spots that felt like exciting, you know, and Cole's phrasing is key. Yeah. You know, Gable has a chance. Gable has a chance. They're not portraying Gable as anything close to like an even fight with Gunther. This is just a you know, mid-card tag wrestler with great credentials, but he's not in Gunther's league, not size-wise, not credential-wise as a single star. And they're telling the story well, and they get, and the crowd is into it. You know, and then ultimately Gable, you know, knocks Gunther around enough to give fans the satisfaction that Gable had a chance, and then Gunther clearly decisively wins. I mean, I think they told the story effectively. Darren, what did you think? This doesn't feel like, oh, we need to elevate Gable any more than he already has been.
Right. The thing about the commercial breaks is also not only does it take you out of it, but, you know, you don't really have to start paying attention until they come back from that last commercial break. You know, nothing is really going to happen until then. So that's another aspect of it. I thought they did as good a job as possible as building that up, the showing the former Intercontinental Champion. I thought that was very well done and added, you know, a lot to it that, like, ooh, something big could go down here. They're showing, the, you know, the history behind all this. And one thing we didn't talk about was I felt so bad for Chad Gable's daughter at the end when she was crying. I mean, she seemed really upset. I was like, I think I gotta stop doing that kind of stuff. And these poor kids are going to be traumatized because I forgot who it was, but somebody recently, and maybe it was an NXT or something, was in just in tears. I'm like, they got to stop doing this to these poor kids.
Yeah. All right, Sean.
The last quick thing I guess I'll bring up and was about just going back, you talked about Shane and Zoe a little bit, but I wanted to kind of go about that as far as, yeah, you're not supposed to like either one. I agree with you guys. You're not supposed to, that's what they're going for. And The match was pretty – I wanted to hear what you thought about the match. I thought the match was pretty good. It was okay. I still – as much as we've talked about so many times, I think Shayna that had something, I think she's been really damaged. I would have liked Zoe to win the match. I know it's fine. They gave her the hope, you know, trying to get out of the clutch, and she tried and tried and tried and – you know, they were like, oh, we're trying to protect her in that sense of she's doing everything she can to get out of it. Finally, she just succumbs to it. I still would have liked Zoe to win, but I just wanted to hear what you thought about the match and, you know, where you just find either way. Because, I mean, I don't think it really matters because they're both, I think, you know, they're probably going to team up and maybe that's fine for now. But I want to hear your thought about that. Wade, I appreciate all you've done this weekend. I'm going to catch up. I haven't really got to hear a lot of stuff either because it's been kind of busy for me just doing stuff for the weekend and doing other things. But I'm going to go back and listen to everything. And, Darren, I appreciate what you do covering Impact. I want to say, Darren, really fast, just talk about Impact. I know I haven't got to watch it, and it's really sad because I told you I think at some point I was going to watch it because of Deonna. And I love Deonna, and I'm a fan. I'm sorry. She's lost too much, Darren. I you know, maybe there's something planned that, you know, that I'm trying to keep up with your reports and see what's going on. But I just think she's lost way too much, losing to Trinity twice, losing to Nikki twice. I too many losses. So I hope they do something special
and
with her.
Probably another one coming up this week. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I appreciate both of you guys. And listen to everything, VIP members. If you're a VIP member, listen to everything, too, because Rich is one of the best, too. I always love listening to him. So thanks for all you do, Wade. Appreciate you taking my call, as always.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Rich had obligation Saturday and then just wasn't – he lost his voice on Sunday, wasn't able to be part of this weekend's happening. So I'm very much looking forward to catching up with him on our VIP show, Everything with Rich and Wade. So much to catch up on with Rich, more than usual coming out of a pay-per-view weekend. Another very good reason to go VIP. You know, Rich and I have a fun dynamic, a newer one than Todd, but not new either because we've been doing shows for a long time. All right. Let's go to Erico 224. You are up now. Go ahead. State your name and the city you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, this is Kevin from Colorado.
You're a bit muffled, and I heard Colorado, but not your first name.
Hold on one second.
Sure, yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
You're still very muffled.
All right, is that better? I took my Bluetooth out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, now you're starting to sound better. So, yeah, go ahead, state your name and your first name again.
Yeah, this is Kevin from Colorado.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, that's a big improvement in your sound quality. Yeah, what's on your mind about Raw tonight? Good to hear from you.
So, thinking about the, Jay coming out and, all these different possible angles that they set up tonight. And I think I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to think more long term. And I don't know, Wade, do you know if they're bringing back the War Games this year for Survivor Series?
Do we think that this is going to factor into that? Was that your question? Sorry.
Yeah.
Or just are they bringing
more
it back
long
in general?
Term.
Yeah.
Well, bringing it back in general, but then, I was thinking storyline-wise and, Dom, pitching to Jay, I was just curious if, I always thought that, maybe we could do a Judgment Day versus Bloodline, for War Games, and maybe Jay going ahead and winning Judgment Day.
Darren, has that crossed your mind or some variation of it? I mean, when you look at all the pieces in place and all the alliances that could happen, I mean, even Judgment Day standing going, we're now the dominant faction. It's like those feel like fighting words, but do you do a cross brand War Games with Jay temporarily with Judgment Day, like going, I'll be with you, but I'm not sure how I feel about it. And then you have the Bloodline, linking up with a couple people to add to it. Or do you keep this, if you do something where it's, group against group, it's more Sammy, KO and Jay and Cody and someone against the Judgment Day members, maybe add JD McDonough to the mix. I mean, all those scenarios have crossed my mind, and I just don't know that tonight solidified it entirely, like where I would put my money in terms of where they're steering it. And I don't know if that is a War Games. I mean, if they're going to do a cross brand match, I think it would have to be War Games. But if it's just an intra Raw battle between two different teams or factions, they could do something that isn't War Games also that would still feel big. So yeah, Darren, your thoughts on that?
I kept in the back of my mind that War Games could possibly be coming up, especially for a Survivor Series. And then even Rhea throws out tonight that the Bloodline is no longer the dominant faction. It's Judgment Day. Maybe that's they're alluding to that, perhaps. But I just don't see a way to get there. There's probably a really big payday in having a Judgment Day against Bloodline match. I just don't see how you get there necessarily. I think the more realistic way is to have Judgment Day go against, as we were just talking about, Jay, Cody, and KO, and Sammy, and throw in somebody else. Maybe that's where Drew makes his turn or something like that. And also could be the impetus for Damian Priest finally splitting off because something usually big happens at the War Games. So I think that's a more realistic, but I certainly hope that they do a War Games because you've got the perfect storyline playing out. It would peak the Cody team against the Judgment Day feud is kind of peaking, and that would pay off well at Survivor Series.
Kevin, what are there multiple scenarios you like, or one in particular that you would most like to see based on the options that tonight's Raw especially presented?
I really hadn't thought about the Cody thing, you know, Cody and his people, but I think that definitely worked. I think that would be more of like a dream scenario for myself, you know, seeing Jay join the Judgment Day and, you know, going up against the Bloodline. Like Darren brought up about Rhea Ripley mentioning that they're the top faction, you know, in the WWE right now. And that just crossed my mind.
Yeah. I think it crossed many people's minds. Coming out as Raw, it's like, this is going to be a fun post show because there's so many, like just the Jey Uso. It was weird too because we got pretty deep into the show before Judgment Day was part of it, and they've been such a big part of it, and that was refreshing too. And then to have a show this good with so many moving parts and so many developments, and Cody's not even on the show, Kevin Owens isn't even on the show. I mean, there's some depth here, and then you throw in the mystery of who's going to depart, and is it, you know, is that more all about Jey? You're like, somebody who's leaving, but it's not that big of a deal. Or is it a big deal to Ron in the whole dynamic? I'm intrigued with all that. So, but the idea of I mean, it's been happening for a while. You know, Judgment Day walking out with all the belts, and at the time when, you know, the storyline is the Bloodline is falling apart, it does feel like symbolically a shift to, yes, Judgment Day are the belt collectors now. They are the more successful faction, and they can play that up. But I wasn't sure they were going to, and then they did. Darren, you want to add anything?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. But go ahead, Kevin. You can elaborate on that or shift to another topic if you want to.
Well, that was really all I had today. All the other callers really covered everything from Raw tonight. But I just want to say I'm a first-time call. I've been being VIP for a couple years now and excited glad to have you guys to listen to, especially when I work. So I appreciate all you guys do.
Well, Kevin, thank you. I hope you'll feel encouraged to call again.
Yeah, definitely appreciate it, Wade. Thank you, Darren. Look forward to talking to you later.
Yeah, good topic. I wish I had like just a more like specific take on where this is all going. But it's just kind of fun to imagine different scenarios right now and appreciate the fact that they've left the door open for a variety of them. I assume they have a pretty good idea of where they're going with this, even if they're throwing a lot out there at us as possibilities right now.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing for me is they're just throwing out so many possibilities that maybe they're trying to make us look one way and, you know, they're going another way, but you know, we'll see how it goes. And I'm looking forward to the next couple months of it.
Yep. Me too. Cool. Kevin, great. I hope to hear from you again soon. Thanks. Thanks for being a VIP member, too. Really appreciate it.
All right. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Yep, you bet. I referenced it earlier, Chad Gable's daughter. David Wolf of Washington, D.C. emailed and said, is Chad Gable so old school he hasn't smartened up his kids? I do not know the answer to that, but it crossed my mind. Like, you know, in the 60s, wrestlers didn't smarten him up. I saw a clip on Twitter the other day of Vince McMahon Sr. telling the media, you know, the just because they're called exhibitions doesn't mean, you know, that the fights aren't real. They're very real. You know, there's exhibitions in baseball, but the players are trying hard to win. It's just, you know, not part of, you know, the official whatever. He was like making his argument. It's like, yeah, I mean, I've been a fan long enough to know when that was the stance wrestlers took. And I was, you know, kind of breaking barriers a bit in, you know, being the first person to do regular series of interviews where wrestlers and promoters and announcers would on the record acknowledge wrestling was a work, with the Torch Talk series that had not been done before. And it would blow my mind if Chad Gable would put his kids in the front row and have them watch him land on his head and get pinned and have that devastate them in a way. But, I mean, everybody knows their own kid. They all have their own, you know, way of framing it. I don't have enough information to judge. I just would be sort of surprised. You would think in this era, just to protect your kids from other kids, not, you know, going, wait, you know how this works, right? Like, I don't know. And resentment afterwards if they thought. So I don't know. It's possible the topic just didn't come up. It's possible the kid just was hoping she didn't know the outcome, but she kind of knows the game, but it's sort of, you know, there's a little ambivalent or not ambiguity about, you know, that's not real, but this is. I don't know. Darren, what did you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, if she knew that it's, you know, kind of an act or whatever, she's very good at crying on cue.
I know.
And a great little actress. So
yeah. That
just led me to believe that she didn't know.
They went to her and then they cut away really quickly.
Yes.
And I was like, was that more of a reaction than they were expecting and that they were comfortable with? Or did they just have to get back to the ring because things were going on in the ring? And I don't know the answer to that, but yeah, I mean, that is an iconic, memorable moment in Raw, I mean, of this era. That reaction was intense and memorable. I'm glad David emailed and I'm glad we remember to bring it up because, geez, I don't even know what to say. At least she wasn't sitting there alone. Yeah, she had the rest of her family there to comfort her.
At least when this happened in Impact a few weeks ago with Bully Ray and I think Josh Alexander, at least they took the kid away from the front row. So there wasn't a major scene. But, yeah, maybe that's something they ought to look into.
Yeah. All right, it's getting late. We're running along. Darren, anything else in your notes or on your mind you want to bring up from Raw tonight? I don't think we missed anything major in the context or, you know, throughout all our conversations here.
No, I'm looking through my notes. I think we touched on everything.
Yeah. Okay, so I will wrap up there. I thank our on-site correspondent, our callers, our emailers, and, of course, our listeners. Darren, always fun talking WWE with you. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. And thanks to our listeners, and we'll talk to you next time.